Father, we thank you so much, God, for this day, for this morning, this beautiful morning that you've given to us. We thank you that we have this place, Seaport, this local church that we can gather together as your body, where we can fellowship with one another and with your spirit, where we can hear the preaching of your word, and where we can praise you openly and freely. We thank you so much, God, for these people we call our brothers and sisters. And we ask, God, that your spirit would just be powerfully felt among us this morning. We ask that you would lead us in all that we do and in all of the teaching and preaching that will go on and all the time we get to spend with each other today, God. May you be glorified in it all, and may you receive the praise that you truly are worthy of receiving. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Dancing on the chains that are laid on the ground. I'm dancing on the dark, I'm lighting up the night. So this next song that we're about to sing is No Longer Slaves. And I wanted to share something in hopes that some of you may relate and to encourage you. And so this song is about fear, being no longer slaves. And I have struggled with fear. I've warred with fear my whole life. And some of the things that I have feared have been rejection, been embarrassment, and fear of the future. And I want to encourage you, in 1 John chapter 4, it says, perfect love casts out all fear. And so the perfect love that we have is from the Father. And so when His love enters us, when His love enters us, and when we abide in Him, that there's no room for fear. The fear has to go. And so I want to sing this song with that in mind, that we are no longer slaves to fear anymore.
Song. Can we go back and just play the first song? The first song. Go back and play the first song. I want to do something with you that is rather heavy duty. I hope you are ready for it. On Tuesday, I was out of the office spending most of the day in prayer, and the Lord led me through something, and I'm going to lead you through it now. And I understand, for me, it took several hours to walk through this. I want to open it up and start you on this path. It's a healing path. And it's this. It's called releasing loss. And this is what I want you to do right now. I want you to think about something in your heart and in your life that's it's a loss, a deep regret, a disappointment, an unfulfilled expectation, a hope and dream. As it were, a grave. Something that maybe has caused you great pain. But today, it's time to begin the process of releasing it. Notice something I said, process. I understand how challenging this is because I walked around in the woods for hours doing this. Confronting stuff in my life that I was just, why did it have to go like this? Why did that not happen like that? Those kinds of things. We all have them, don't we? But they can control your life if you're not careful. And I know the Lord wants me to do this today. I said, man, are you sure you want me to do this? This is heavy. But you got to understand something. Jesus isn't satisfied with you showing up at a building for 75 minutes. He wants to meet with you and touch your life in a dramatic way. Amen? Amen. And send you out of here better than how you came. Is that right? So take a moment with me. For me, there was several things. And this is what I had to do, and this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to simply say, Lord, I'm choosing today to let go of my questions and just trust you and just release this to you, this pain, this heartache, this disappointment, this loss, and just let it go. I literally stood in the woods for hours. Take a moment. Come on. Begin to do this with me. All I'm doing today with you is starting you. And I urge you today, sometime before this day is over, get alone with the Lord and continue the process. I'm simply saying, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know why. Why did I have to do this, go like this? But I'm choosing to trust you, and I'm releasing the loss, and I'm releasing the pain, and I'm trusting you. Can we do this? Will you do it? Some of you, I know, lots of things in your life that you say, I just wished it was different. And some of those things are because of your own foolishness and your own sin. And some of those things are the result of things that people have done, or just life, or the enemy of your soul, regardless of what it is. I'm releasing it to your great care, Lord. Do this with me. Today I choose, Lord, to begin to release this to you, this pain, this hurt, this loss, this unfulfilled expectation and dream and hope. I release it to you. I wished it would have been different, but today it is what it is. And so, God, I choose to release it to you and trust you with it. Pour your grace into me right now, Lord, and help me. Help me not to clutch to that thing, or worse, make it my identity. Help me to release it to you. I choose to put it into your hands. And say, you are my God, and I trust you. Are you doing that, friends? It's hard, isn't it? It was for me. Very hard for me. And I know right now, probably some of you, there's some deep emotions that you're struggling with, and I get that. I went through them all on Tuesday. But I said, I know the Lord wants me free to live this life and to serve you more effectively, you. And it's part of it. Let's not stay stuck, amen? Can we just play that first song? Let's just sing it again softly before we move on.
Child of God.
help us just to continue to walk through this process so that we're no longer slaves to fear or disappointment, regret, heartache, bitterness, or pain. Thanks, Lord. Amen, friends? Amen. God bless you guys. Go ahead and be seated. Hope that you can just walk through that process. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, worship band. Chris, come on. Hallelujah.
Well, good morning, church. I'm Pastor Chris. I just want to welcome you to church this morning. As you can see, we don't just do church around here, right? We truly, truly connect with God. And we're a family around here. We want to truly connect with you. And the easiest way for you to do that is for you to text the word welcome to the number that comes up on the screen. A small link will come back to you. It just takes about 20 seconds or so to fill it out. And then once you do, just like that, shabam, we are connected. And we're also available on Facebook, on Instagram. We even have a TikTok page. Or if you just want to email the office staff, it's office@seaportcommunitychurch.org. And we have all kinds of awesome opportunities. And so if you see there's this QR code that's on the seat back in front, if you just use your camera, you can click on that. It'll take you to a landing page, which will take you to our Church Center app. And you can see and get all of these awesome opportunities. Well, if you haven't figured this out, we are a praying church. And we love to pray around here. And so the summer weekly prayer schedule is changing up a little bit. On Thursdays, we typically have men and women's prayer, but that is actually going to change going forward for the summer. And we are going to have a Friday night prayer that's going to be at Doug Stoll's home, and his address is in the connection page. So make sure you guys are joining us for these awesome, awesome prayer meetings. There is a youth bake auction coming up. And it's on June 16th. There's going to be signups for that outside in the narthex with Nathaniel Jean, our youth director. So make sure you guys are signing up. Last year was an awesome event with all kinds of awesome bidding and lots of peanut butter balls that went for lots and lots of money. And I know Melissa's probably going to make them, and I'm getting them this year. All right. We have our half night of prayer is happening this Saturday, and that is June 8th from 6:30 to 11. So make sure you guys are joining us. Hey, like I said, these prayer meetings are a fantastic time to connect with the Lord. Please, please join us for these awesome opportunities. The blessing of the bike is coming up. And when is that? 30th. June 30th. So make sure you guys are signing up to volunteer for that. It's going to be an awesome outreach. Lots of bikers here. Why are we doing that? Not just to have a bunch of bikers come to the church, right? To just bring people to Jesus. So make sure you guys are joining us for that. And then, of course, it is the 35th anniversary homecoming this year. It's happening in August. There's going to be awesome events. The registration is open for it. Why don't you guys take a look up here, because we have a little video of what Friday night is probably going to look like.
So my next guests are internationally recognized illusionists whose mix of magic and inspirational messages of faith have wowed audiences on five continents, and they've even performed on the NCAA Final Four. Please give a big welcome to David and Tisha Laughlin and their family.
I am an illusionist, but we always like to explain that everything that we do up on this platform, the things that we do, they're just illusions. Now, I believe in miracles, but I do not do miracles. God does miracles.
David and Tisha Laughlin are internationally recognized faith-based illusionists. From national conventions to television appearances and even local houses of worship, this captivating couple has captured the hearts of audiences with their incredible performance. Through each mystifying illusion, they entertain both young and old. David and Tisha entertain the entire audience with an unforgettable experience and an inspiring message.
David is able to really give a good picture of the gospel message in terms that everybody in the audience understands. It's another illusion with a much, much deeper meaning.
The show is filled with amazement, laughter, and incredible illusions. Prepare your mind to be mystified and your heart to be touched.
So these guys are super high-end professionals. It's amazing that we were able to get them. And we are doing something very different for our 35th anniversary homecoming. I mean, this will kick it off on Friday night. On Saturday will be a fun day for the kids with a great big pizza fire truck. Saturday night will be just a time of incredible praise and worship right here. And then we'll wrap it up on Sunday morning. And it's going to be just a phenomenal weekend. It's designed both for all of us, as well as people who come in, as well as it's going to be served as somewhat of an outreach as well to the community. So it's going to be an amazing time. Make sure that you sign up for this. The registration fee is just to help. It doesn't even begin to cover the cost for this, not even begin to. But, you know, so it just covers just a little bit of the cost. And we're not even charging for kids to come. We're just, it's going to be a blessing, okay? So it's going to be, it's an amazing opportunity. And you'll see that is not, he's not a magician, he's an illusionist. And so you heard that very, very clearly. So I'm excited about that. You know, one of the things that we've been doing on the first Sunday of every month is my daughter Lindsay has put together little snippets of Seaport experiences over the years and featured on some particular area. And so we're going to take another look at what she's done, focusing in on another aspect of Seaport over the 35 years. And then what's going to happen on that weekend is that she's going to put all of these videos together in one great big experience of Seaport over the 35 years. So let's watch this clip.
Can we pray for them right now? We're taking an important step. Lord, right now, for these people, following you in the waters of baptism, God, I pray that your Spirit would begin to minister to them right now, allay any of their fears. God, may this evening may it prove to be a loving commitment to you. God, following you in the waters of baptism. God, a rather humble but important step. Expressing death to self, new life in Christ. God, we rejoice with them, we're excited for them, and we ask right now that your Spirit would make this time, God, one of those great memories that they can reflect on. The Lord God himself. And then, in the waters of baptism. Thanks, God. Amen. Why don't you head right over there and begin the baptism.
And as someone who has lived every moment, I'm thinking that feels like this much of this much. And it's a great story to tell. Thanks, Lindsay, for that. And digging out all those pictures and all that over the years. And so I'll put it all together on that weekend. And you'll see it all in its entirety. I want to take some time right now, and we're going to recognize those of our college and high school graduates. Not all of them could be here today, but those that are here, we're going to ask them to come up there. And you have this little card that the office made up. This is a prayer reminder to pray for them as they step into the next phase of their life. And so all the graduates that are here today, come on up here and join me. We want to pray over you. We have a little gift that we want to give to you. As they're coming, I mean, we just want to meet. Here's Jamie. Here's Jamie, okay? Okay, associates in nursing. That's a great accomplishment. Okay. Isn't that great? All right. Come on. And look at Nolani. Here we go. Master's in nursing education. I was like, what is that? She told me all about it. Isn't that great? Look at it. Here's Josiah. All right. Look at that. Is that right, valedictorian? Back up. Is that legit? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I know it is. I'm just jazzing. I'm so proud of him. Yeah, That's great. Look at that. Look at that. And look, Thalia, look at this. Okay. And when are you turning 18?
Yesterday.
I wasn't sure if it was yesterday or when it was.
Yesterday.
18. Graduate, turning 18. Wow, it's exciting. You're 18. Wow, that's great. Yeah, it's good. It's great to have her. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, look at that. All right. And we've seen Nolani. You know the best thing about Nolani getting her master's? She's got a new job, so she can be here more, so she can do more for missions here. And, you know, a special thanks, you know, we just want to recognize Jamie as well. That's a great accomplishment for Jamie. And Ron, I mean, let's bring up Ron's picture, okay? That's a robot in the background, okay? All right? Masters in robotic engineering. That's pretty cool, if you ask me. Now, I don't know, he gave some lame reason why he couldn't be here today. I think this is it. There it is right there. There's the reason. In a beautiful ceremony last week, Ron married Brenna Parker, an AG preacher's kid out of Worcester. And I could just sense the presence and the pleasure of God on that ceremony. Was great. So we congratulate all of them. And, you know, it just, Sia, this is something from your church that loves you and appreciates you so very, very much. And I've asked, we'll make sure that these cards get to Ron and to Jamie. But I'm going to ask Rolando to come. He's just going to pray. Why don't you guys stand with me? And you're going to be seated for a little while. But why don't you stand with me and let's pray that as these five step in, Ron is, you know, he's graduated, just gotten married, a whole new life for sure. And as these guys are stepping into, you know, a whole new season of their lives, you know, it's really exciting. But first of all, use that microphone. Let's find out. Okay, we know what Nolani is doing. We know he's got a new job. I'm so excited about that. Thalia, what are you doing now? Tell us, what are you doing now?
I'm planning on going to Messiah University for art.
Nice, yeah. Good for you. Wow, good for you. Wow, okay. Good, okay. And Josiah, what are you doing?
I'm going for a bachelor's in welding engineering at Pennsylvania College of Technology.
Welding engineering? I didn't even know that you could do that. Wow, that's cool, man. That is really cool. I'm I was welding challenge in the metal shop in high school. But anyway, so it's always kind of impressive when I see these guys, what they do. Rolando, let's pray that God will just empower them and help them to step into this next season of their lives.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Josiah, Falia, Noelani, Jamie, Ron. We thank you so much that
yes.
that you've blessed them to be able to achieve these accomplishments. We thank you, God, that you've blessed us with them in our church family. And we thank you that we get to pray for them in this moment.
Yes.
God, we ask that your spirit would fill them, would rest upon them. We ask that you'd help them to keep their minds stayed on you so that they would remain in perfect peace as they continue to do your will. God, we ask that you'd give them a spiritual wisdom and insight by your spirit so that as they continue to work hard and be diligent, that they would see you directing their paths, that they would see the opportunities you give them to shine the light. God, we ask that you would give them wisdom and give them endurance, God, to overcome any scheme of the enemy, to overcome any lies or any strongholds that Satan would try to bring into their lives.
Yes.
Help them, Lord, to walk with the fruit of your spirit, being gentle and kind, but also being courageous and bold. Help them to just do your will, to please you, and to love all the people that are around them. We love you, God. We thank you for them, and we just ask for your a special blessing upon them as they continue in all of their endeavors. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, amen. Give them another round of applause. Did you do that? Congratulations. Congratulations. Awesome. That's good. Go ahead and be seated, friends. It's just tremendous. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks for that. Let's move into honoring the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Thank you so much for that. I love this passage of Scripture. Listen to what it says. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything, not the last, but the best part of everything you produce, and he will fill your barns with grain, your vats will overflow with good wine. Not that you want vats of wine. Most of us probably wouldn't need that, but the idea of tremendous blessing. Amen? And you know what? Your giving makes things possible, like bringing in, you know, this high-level professional, you know, illusionist family. That makes that possible. It makes it possible to bless the graduates with a little financial gift. It makes all that kind of stuff possible. So thank you. And you know what? As you do that, then God blesses you and honors you and expands and just resources you. Do you believe that? I've got 50 years of experience with this, and I know it's true. You know, and even as challenging as it's been the last 2 years, it's been really, the last 2 or 3 years, it's been really so challenging. You know what? God is still our provider, and his word is still true. Amen? Amen? We put him first, we give him the best part, and look, and then he just blesses us. God's already got inflation factored into his blessing of you. You know that, right? He's already got that factored in. So, Lord, help us to honor you with our giving today, that your work can go forward in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You know how to give. If you don't, obviously, there's lots of ways to give. You can go and use text to give. You can go on through the app. That's usually the best way, is the app, is to do that. And or you can go old school and go to the giving kiosk boxes out there and put in a check if you want to do it that way. Hallelujah. But thanks for being faithful. I've requested the youth to stay in for the service today. I think this message is kind of pertinent to them. I don't normally do that, but I just felt like I was supposed to do that today. Let's jump in. Are you ready to jump in to continue the series called Unstoppable? Are you ready? Let's do this. What do you do when, even though you maybe have 500 TV channels, you still can't find something to watch? Well, I guess what you do is what I did recently, and that's find some old TV show that you grew up with, and you buy the whole series of the thing. And so for me, So for me, that was the TV series Mission Impossible. Not the Tom Cruise big screen franchise. This thing is back in the 60s, okay? Now, I'll admit, most of the missions were implausible at best, campy often, high-tech always, as they took these forays into communist bloc, eastern, you know, communist countries, or these Latin American countries controlled by these wild despots. It always amazed me how all these people knew English. But anyway, what made it great was this, is that the team always got out smiling. Now, I know I have seriously just dated myself, but that's okay. That's okay. Now, the mission I'm about to talk to you about, certainly no TV show, and certainly was dangerous. Not campy at all. Actually, pretty scary at moments. And it did have a cast of some pretty highly skilled and respected people that had come together for this particular moment to carry out this mission, which was not impossible with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what, you know, what Luke is trying to help us to understand. This crew that we're about to look at, Paul, Barnabas, and others, their mission, and they chose to accept it, was to take the gospel to Cyprus and beyond. And what we call Paul's first missionary journey. I mean, he gets off to an easy and somewhat mundane start, you know. I mean, but it's not long before they discover that not everything has been placed in that dossier and not everything has been included in the recording of the mission description. You remember that in the story, right? In the series. I mean, it was going to be challenging, and it wasn't going to be quick and easy either. Not at all. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, wants us to continue to understand that it is the power of the Holy Spirit that enabled these unlikely people to go on mission with Jesus and take the gospel around the world, facing very challenging and formidable circumstances and personalities and situations, but they do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he lays that out in this historical documentary called The Book of Acts, a 30-year history of the early church. He lays that all out for us to help us understand. And we've come to kind of an interesting transitional moment here. And let's go to Acts chapter 13. And I want you to hear what is happening. Among the prophets and the teachers of the church there in Antioch of Syria, there was two Antiochs, and so he clarifies which one, were Barnabas, Simeon, called the black man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manon, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas and Saul. Now the Bible says, some of your Bibles will say prophets and pastors. This church was blessed to have a series of very strong spiritual leaders at the helm of it. I mean, now pastors are capable caregivers, they're teachers, that's how they're wired. Prophets are a little different. Prophets aren't too concerned about people's feelings. They're more concerned about telling you to take very direct or corrective action. Or they love to like speak about what God needs to do right now or what he's going to do in the future. And so there was a combination and they worked wonderfully in tandem together there in the church of Antioch. Now, this regionally was a very powerful church. It exerted tremendous influence in the entire area, and that's probably why it drew these leaders there. You know, and so, and of course, in there, in the mix, you have well-known characters. You have Barnabas, and you have Saul that we call Paul, and they're all there. Now, Luke describes these guys, and you know, from Cyrene, the black man. I don't know how he got that title. I've had no idea. I got that title. The childhood companion of King Herod of Antipas. I mean, that's kind of a big deal. I mean, all of these guys are in there. Luke gives a little bit of a description so the readers know who he's talking about because these are common names. It's like me saying, yeah, well, Joe was there. You'd go, Rich Joe. So he helps us to understand that. So this church, again, very powerful, very significant. Now, these leaders have gathered together, and I don't know, what is it, some kind of like a prayer retreat or a time of focused prayer and fasting, or we don't really know. We're just told that they get together and they begin to pray. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, through one of these prophets, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work that I've called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Now again, we don't know the occasion, why they were doing this. Maybe it was just kind of a regular routine. Maybe it was kind of their normal meeting. Maybe it was something they just sensed that something that they needed to get together. Maybe they were concerned about some particular matter. And in the process of fasting and prayer, the Spirit of God speaks and makes it very clear that Barnabas and Saul are to leave and to go forward into this mission trip. Now, let me just say this to you. Maybe you're here at a place and you need guidance and you need direction. You've sensed something stirring in your heart and you're not really quite sure about what God may be saying to you. To take time to pray and fast, or better yet, to get with some spiritually strong people and pray and fast with you for clarity, there's nothing like fasting that will sensitize your spirit to the voice of God. Amen? It'll sensitize you to hear His voice and know this is the way, walk in it. Lots of Christians don't understand the power of fasting with prayer because it can enable you to hear God and give you the grace and the strength. It's contrary to what we might think, to do what God wants us to do. So that's what these guys are doing. And you might need to do that. And often when there's a serious matter affecting a church, it is wise for a church to take time as leaders to fast and to pray, and for the rest of the body to join it as well. It's interesting to me, as I look at this and I look at the book of Acts, these guys are on the leading edge of taking the gospel around the world. And yet, there's no strategic planning. None. All these guys do is pray, and the Spirit of God says, go do this, and they go and do it. Now, I'm not against strategic planning. I like that stuff, you know? And it's not wrong, and it's appropriate. But unfortunately, this is my opinion, only my opinion, I believe that one of the reasons why the American church is so anemic and in tremendous, tremendous decline, while the church in Africa is exploding and the church in Asia is exploding, is that because the church in America depends upon human ingenuity and strategic plans instead of listening to the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This church works very hard at trying to follow the leading of the Spirit and not just come up with some nifty idea and throw it out there. See, there's a big difference between saying, God, I've got these great plans and these great ideas. I hope that you'll bless them. I pray you'll bless my great ideas. There's a big difference between that and saying, God, what is it that you want? You reveal your plan, and we'll do that because you will bless that. There's a big difference. That's how Seaport tries to operate, how it operates. And guess what? You'd be better off if you did it for yourself as well. You tell me what you want me to do, Lord. I will do it. Because He will bless that. Amen? Do you hear me? You hear me? These guys, they embrace this. Some, about maybe 6 weeks ago, Lord began to speak to me about changing things this summer. And so in July and August, we're going to put the growth track on hold. We'll pick it up in September probably. And I just felt like the Lord wanted me not to work at planning out some big, long thing, big thing. He just wanted me to listen to what He's telling me and to do that. Then He told me to take every Tuesday and go out of the office. Tuesday's the heaviest office day I have. And He said, go out of the office and just be with me. I said, wow, okay. that started this past Tuesday and will continue every Tuesday. If you're looking for me on Tuesday in the office, I'm not here. And I won't tell you where I am because I don't know where I'm going to be. I'm just going to be with Jesus somewhere. Nice. He said, let me tell you this. He said, I have much to tell you. Okay? It's my plan to pray on those days about many things, but one of those things will be to pray and get his voice and hear his voice for what he wants to have happen during what we call the summer fire. And I'm trusting God for some great things. I hope that you'll pray with me. Amen? I hope that you'll pray. It could get interesting. I hope that it does. There's more here, though. Paul and Barnabas were called by the Holy Spirit to step out of their comfort zones and to travel preaching the gospel. It must have been kind of easy to be hanging out. You're in a great church with great leaders. I mean, you're in a great place. And all of a sudden, God says, you know what, get out of that. It wasn't a shock to them. I mean, Paul, all the way back in chapter 9, verse 15, he knows the calling is on his life at some point to go and share the gospel and preach the gospel. He knows that, and he's been following this as much as he can. But now comes the moment where he's got to step fully into this. Please understand something. Many times God will reveal something about your life, but there may be years before it comes to fruition. Well, you've got to wait, and you've got to trust the Lord, and you've got to grow in experiences. You've got to be faithful in what he gives you to do. And then there's confirmation and direction, and then there's the go sign. I don't know how many times I've had missionaries tell me that. It's happened many, many, many times. And if you're sensing a shift in a new course of your life, you need to get alone with God. You need to pray and consult mature leaders so that they can confirm that and so that you make the right decision at the right time. Because many times there is a delay between when God says, I'm going to do this in your life, I'm calling you to do this, and when you actually do it. And you've got to wait on him and wait for his timing. And that's what happens with Paul and Barnabas there. And they knew that now was the time, and so they make immediate plans to set out. Not long after I became a Christian at 16, I began to sense that the Lord was changing the whole direction of my life. I mean, I had a very clear picture of what I was going to do, you know, at least a pretty clear idea. My father had told me repeatedly, as his oldest son, he said, look, don't live like I've lived. Don't do that. Go get a good education, get a good job, make good money, and live your life. And he said, don't live like I've lived. And he did live somewhat of a hard life. He did. But as I began to follow the Lord, my dreams of what I wanted to do, what he wanted me to do, began to fade hard. Hard. I began to sense God calling me into ministry. And you had to understand, that was the absolute last thing my father wanted for me. I understood his reasons. He was not in favor of it at all. One day he said to me, he said it just like this. He said, well, if you're going to go into ministry, you better have a strong back and a thick skin. He forgot the compassionate heart part. Thankfully, I got that part from my mother. The other parts I got from him. But anyway. The Spirit of God would deal with my father in a critical moment and reveal to him it was indeed God's plan for me to take this track. And although it was hard for him, he would embrace it. And guess what? Most of the things that he was concerned about happening to me, they have. They have happened. But oh, how I wished he could meet you. One day you'll meet him. Amen. On the other side. You'll meet him. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. God would set this plan in motion in my life and then set the timing in place, and off I would go as a 17-year-old off to college, pursue the Lord. and what has been the adventure of a lifetime, for sure, for sure. I thought of this quote many, many times over the years by the great English preacher. If God calls you to be a minister, don't stoop to becoming a king. If you're here today and God has been calling you to step into ministry, don't stoop to becoming a king. There's no other path that you'll ever be happy on. Never, ever. So Barnabas, they set out. I'll show you a little picture. There they are in Antioch. They take a 15-mile trip down to the seaport where they board a ship. And they're sent out by the Holy Spirit, it says in verse 4. And they went down to the seaport of Seleucia, and they sailed for the island of Cyprus. There in the town of Salamis, they went to the Jewish synagogues and preached the word of God. John Mark went with them as an assistant. Don't miss that part. Off they go, Paul and Barnabas, Saul, Paul, same guy, and John Mark, the nephew of Barnabas. Here they go. Mark is young, immature, impetuous. More on him in a moment. Although Luke is telling us what happened, there's some interesting little observations I want to bring out with you today. I don't know how much time how many we'll cover. We'll cover what we can cover. But why did they go to the island of Cyprus? Cyprus was only about 60 miles off the coast. Obviously a well-known island, an island that had many Jews at it from the diaspora. They'd gone everywhere, and one of the places they'd gone there was there on that island. And that there were plenty of cities, and there were plenty of synagogues that were there. Synagogues that became preaching points. They were the first place that Paul would go to share the gospel. He would start with the Jews first, remember? That's what he would do. That's where he would go. So off they went, okay? Why Cyprus? Cyprus was the home of Barnabas. That's where he grew up. He knew the island. He knew the people. He had family there. He had connections there. They knew that when they went there, they would have support. They'd have connections. Barnabas would know the culture. He would know the traditions. He would know all of that. And that would help launch them effectively into what was going to be a 2-year mission trip. He knew that. And so off they go. Please understand something. Many times when God sends you out, your first stop is with the familiar. Because he knows you've got to prove yourself in the familiar before you go to the wildly unfamiliar. And often that familiar has to do with our family. You know, and although the Lord sent me to several different places, and Debbie and I to several different places, you know, and God sent me here and sent me there, and one of the reasons why he sent me to the Bible college I went to was not so much the education, but was to meet and marry her. That was probably the greatest gift I got out of going to that college. It was her. I would have never met her if I hadn't gone there. Never, ever. I mean, how's the guy from Ledyard, Connecticut meet a girl from Marinette, Wisconsin, unless God brings them together in East Providence, Rhode Island? And then God would send us here, back home. Why? Because I'm familiar with this place, obviously. People through the years have said to me, so where are you from? Where'd you come from to start this church? I said, I came from here. I said, are you like local? I said, well, I was born in L&M 7 miles from here, and I grew up in Ledyard 3 miles from here. Does that make me a local? My family's lived here for 250 years. They go, I guess you're local. I am. Always smiling. I am. Barnabas was like that. They go to Cyprus. And they begin to immediately, they land, they begin to go to the synagogues. I mean, most people would remember Barnabas, most likely. And the reputation of Saul of Tarsus, the well-known rabbi, would probably precede them and would open up doors for them to go into the synagogues and preach as special guests. And they would do that. And they would do that. But just because God has called you on mission, and he sends you at first to a place that's familiar and maybe somewhat easy, doesn't mean it's going to stay easy. Could get pretty challenging when you go on mission with God. Some Christians think, well, I'm just going to do the will of God. It's just going to be wonderful. No. It could be very challenging. And they would soon discover this. Well, here's the first one. John Mark went with them as their assistant. Okay. You just read that and go, okay. You know? But who was this kid? Who was this? We know him as Mark. That's who we know him as. He appears to have grown up in the city of Jerusalem. His mom owned a large home in the city of Jerusalem where Christians often hung out and had meetings. So he grew up around, probably around strong Christians. But now he's being tapped by Uncle Barney to go with Paul, the amazing Paul, on this two-year missionary journey to who knows where. They didn't even have a plan as to where they were going that I could tell. But something happens, and if you'll see it later in verse 13, I'll speed ahead for just a moment. In verse 13, after they move past Cyprus and then they come back up onto the mainland, they get up onto the mainland and it says that Mark left them. Now, Mark, we think, could have been, maybe he was homesick. Maybe he couldn't handle the rigors of missionary life. Maybe he was a mama's boy. I don't know. No one really knows, but he jets. And Paul is kicked. He is mad. So mad at this that some years later, Barnabas says, hey, you know, and they talk, Paul and Barnabas talk, and say, we're going to go back and revisit those churches in the second missionary journey. We're going to go revisit them. And that's great. Who are we going to take? And Barnabas says, oh, we're going to take my nephew, you know, Mark. Oh, no, you're not. We ain't taking him. Man, he jumped ship last time, left us in a world of hurt. We're not taking him. Barnabas said, oh, yes, we are. And those two men had a fight, separated. And Barnabas would take John Mark. And Paul would say, okay, whatever, I'm going to take Silas. And there was two missionary teams. We don't know if Paul and Barnabas ever reconciled. We don't know. I'd have to assume, but I don't know. But at the end of Paul's life, it's rather interesting. In Colossians 4 and 2 Timothy 4, Paul writes about Mark and talks about how effective and useful he is. And he speaks of him with esteem. It's amazing. He had grown up. He had grown up and become useful. Somewhere in there, John Mark begins to travel with the Apostle Peter. This guy was connected probably because of mom, who she was in Jerusalem. He begins to travel with Peter. And every night and every day, he's listening to Peter tell the stories of Jesus that he himself was a little bit familiar with already. But he hears these stories, and at some point early on, he sits down and he writes what we call the Gospel of Mark. It's a vivid, fast-moving, I call it the Nike Gospel. It's just do it. It just moves so fast. It's so unlike Luke and John and Matthew. It just moves from scene to scene to scene to scene very, very quickly. It kind of makes sense based upon who Peter is and how he would tell those stories. It only kind of makes sense. But later on, this guy, Peter, in his letter, would write about Mark, my son, deep spiritual connection. And Paul would write about his value. You see, you can mess up hard. And yet, as you stay on track and follow the Lord, you can come back and find great effectiveness and usefulness in the kingdom. Amen? That's Mark's story. Mark's story. But look at what happens next. And I don't have much time. I'll just share this with you briefly. Acts 13, verses 6 through 12. Afterward, they traveled from town to town across the entire island. They landed, and they started moving down a road that went right down the southern part of the island that was fairly new that the Romans had built. And it took them town to town easily. And they meet a Jewish sorcerer there in the last, all the way to the extent of the other end of the island, Paphos, a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. Here's the challenge with this. You know, sometimes you just read this stuff and you don't catch it all. This is a Jewish guy practicing dark arts, which were absolutely forbidden to the Jews. And to make matters worse, this guy had taken the name Bar-Jesus, which means son of Jesus. And the Apostle Paul's like, oh, brother, here we go. Here we go. He'd attached himself to the governor, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. See, even intelligent people can get conned by the occult. See in our culture all the time, don't you? All the time. The governor invited Barnabas and Saul to visit him, and he wanted to hear the word of God. Now, we don't know if he was interested in the word of God or if he was being political and just wanted to find out what these guys were up to. We don't really know. But he brought these guys in, and so, I mean, here's Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. John Mark is still with him at this point, you know. And, I mean, Paul lays it out. But Elymas, the sorcerer, as his name means in Greek, interfered and urged the governor to pay no attention to what Barnabas and Saul said. He was trying to keep the governor from believing. That's nothing new. Fake spiritual people, people that got some kind of a religious covering or a spiritual covering or something like that, will continually try to interrupt, distort, and interfere with the proclamation of the gospel. And if you've ever had an experience of sharing the gospel with people and have some religious person come in and try to intercept and interfere, have you ever had that happen? That's not new. And the Apostle Paul, though, wasn't having it. He wasn't having it. Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked at the sorcerer in his eye. Now, listen to this. Some people think all Christian leaders should always act like this. Well, how are you? Is everything fine? Are you good? Oh, that's so nice. Like this vanilla mush garbage all the time. That's what they, sometimes Christian leaders, you know, and people who think that have never really walked with Jesus or really met the Apostle Paul. Because look at what he does. Then he said, you son of the devil. That doesn't sound very PC. Full of every sort of deceit and fraud, the enemy of all this good. Will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord? Now, he's a Jew speaking to a Jew. It's important, I think, to kind of understand it. This guy, he knew he was outside the lines. This sorcerer, he knew he was outside the lines. And so Paul spoke to him pretty abruptly. He wasn't having it. And this guy is trying to keep the governor from receiving the gospel. Watch now, the Lord has laid his hand up. Listen, this gets really wild now. His hand of punishment upon you and struck you blind. You will not see sunlight for some time. Instantly mist and darkness came over the man's eyes, and he began groping around, begging for someone to take his hand and lead him. I think Luke includes this because it's a wonderful contrast between what happens in Luke and Acts 9 when the gospel, when the light of the glorious God hits Paul on the road to Damascus and blinds him, and yet he comes up as a follower of Jesus. There is nothing that Luke ever says that I've ever seen that would indicate that this sorcerer repented and came to faith in Christ. We don't know. What a contrast. People can have profound spiritual experiences and end up on totally different ends of the spectrum. I've seen it, haven't you? When the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Not only was there teaching, but there was power. Let me say this as I get ready to close. We are now entering a season in our country, and have been for some time, frankly. It's going to take more than nice-sounding words to get the attention of people. They're going to need to have powerful experiences with the God who loves them. Do you believe that? They're going to need to see a gospel that has power to change a life. This governor looked and said, man, this is no joke. This is no joke. And he became a follower of Jesus. We don't really know much about, Luke just doesn't bother to tell us what happened much after that. We don't know. We don't know. But let me wrap this up by simply saying this. When you go on mission with Jesus, and worship band, please come back. When you go on mission with Jesus, here's a few kind of wrap up thoughts, takeaways from today. Please, the next church you go to when you leave Seaport for whatever, you know, move, whatever, don't select your church based upon, oh, they got cool music and they have cool services and, oh, they've got cool programs. Nothing wrong with any of those things. I like them all too. But ask yourself, how do I know if this church has got spiritual leadership that's following the Holy Spirit, or if they're just doing some kind of religious gig? I encourage you to even go in and meet with the leadership if you're seriously considering making some church. Don't just go in there and go, oh, I kind of like this church. I'm comfortable here. I'm comfortable. That's so stupid. I'm comfortable here. Lots of people very comfortable on their way to hell. Well, make that your standard. Make the standard of, how do I know that the leadership of that church that I'm maybe put my life and my family and my money and my time into is being directed by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit? Probably never heard about selecting a church based on that criteria. Step into the mission with the people that God's directed you. If God has told you now is the time to step into mission, maybe it's something in this church or maybe something outside this church, God will confirm it. He'll clarify it. He'll empower and He'll enable, and He'll send people with you. They won't be always perfect. You won't always like everything that they do, but if you go with them, you'll accomplish what God has for you. Got that? But be faithful in that first assignment. Be faithful. If you mess up, you mess up. Just get back on track with God and be like John Mark, whose life became very effective, much more so than what they thought. If that happens. Yeah, you know what? You might go back home at first, but back home will become a launching pad to something far greater. But be faithful back home. And anticipate challenges with people that will surely come. When you go on mission with Jesus, yeah, there will be people that will bail out on you. There will be people that quit. There will be people that, there'll be fakes that try to obstruct what you're trying to do. And the rigors of it can be challenging at times when you go on mission with Jesus. But guess what? You got to expect great things. And stand with me, because when you go on mission with Jesus, it won't necessarily be easy, but it'll be amazing how God uses your life. Those guys left that island. They left that island that day going, wow, I thought we were just going to preach to the synagogues. They had no idea that they would win the very governor of the island to Jesus. They had no idea that they would shut down that demonic force that was trying to control the governor. They had no idea. That must have been some story when they got on the ship and sailed back to the mainland. Must have been some story. Luke thought it was so cool, he wrote it down. He wrote it down. Here's how we're going to close. Key leaders, we're shooting for 11:45 in the fellowship poll. Here's how we're going to close today. I want to challenge you to go on mission with Jesus, whatever that is. To step into whatever maybe He's been calling you. Maybe you sense that now is the time. Or maybe you're not sure and you're saying, God, I just need to know if this is the time to step into it. Maybe that's where you're at. I don't know. But I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to ask you to respond. I'm going to ask you to respond. Ministry team, you come, stand across the front. And I'm going to ask you to respond, friends, as we close this service. This is how we're going to do it. If you need direction, you're not sure what God may be saying to you. You sense that He's saying something to you, but you're not sure what it is. You come. Maybe you're here and you're not sure. Is it time for me to step out and to do this? But you're not sure. Then you come. And maybe you're simply saying, I need to go on mission with Jesus, but I'm not sure I can. I'm apprehensive. I'm a little afraid. Then you come and we're going to pray. But come right now. If that's you, you're saying, I feel like it's time for me to go on mission with Jesus. I'm not sure but now is the time or not. I'm not sure. I need direction. I need courage. If that's you, come right now. Stand across the front. Don't delay. Come on. Let's sing this. And then we're just going to pray. Come on.
Narrow as the road may seem, I'll follow where your spirit leads. Broken as my life may be, I will give you every peace. I hear
God, help us to say yes to your mission, whatever it might be. Help us, God, to know what it is and when it is, and help us to go according to your time and to go with the people that, God, you direct us with. God, knowing that it'll be amazing and it'll be wonderful, but it won't be easy. But help us to go forward. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Dismiss us now in your great grace. Thanks, Lord. Amen, friends. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. If you need prayer, come and receive it. Grab your kids. Leaders will begin at 11:45. Hallelujah. Need prayer? Come and receive it. God bless you guys.